This is KFRC, AM and FM in San Francisco.
KFRC.
At KFRC and KFRC-FM in San Francisco, the time is 11:30. A lot of letters and a lot of phone calls, particularly of recent weeks, for me to either do again or repeat the tape we have with the Grateful Dead, so I thought we'd just play it again tonight. Keep in mind that this tape was recorded a matter of 3 or 4 months ago, and the Grateful Dead has been up to all sorts of things since then. But the comments of Jerry Garcia and of members of the Dead are certainly valid, so let's listen to that.
On Perspective tonight, we want to lead off the whole thing by talking to some wild characters called the Grateful Dead. And I should have had you guys on before because you're one of the popular groups around the area. And I've had other groups, and I said, okay, who's sounding good? And they say the Grateful Dead, and I just finally got around to getting you on the show. Around the table we'll go, meet first Pigpen. What a horrible name.
Not my fault, Jerry gave it to me.
What's your real name?
Ron.
Ron. Well, your fan club yesterday or something was telling me you're 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You look like 38. What happened? I know.
couldn't tell you.
Jerry Garcia. Jerry was on a previous show with us when Ken Kesey was down. And Jerry's name is mentioned quite often when we talk about guitar pickers. Many times on the
guitar
show.
Guitar pickers.
Yeah, we've talked about guitar and who's doing this well and that well. And somebody always mentions Jerry Garcia. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thanks.
A wild shirt on today. Bob, what's the real name? I didn't catch Bill. First of all, Bill. Okay, it doesn't matter.
Bill Kreitzman's real name.
Kreitzman.
And it's just too long to pronounce.
Your instrument is?
Drums.
Drums. Okay. And Bob?
I'm the rhythm guitarist.
Are you the spokesman for the group? Or the You threw something like an 18-syllable word out a while ago here. Knocked the whole thing dead. Is he the mouthpiece?
No, that was a long mumble.
Oh, is that what it was? And there's one member, better give him credit.
Bill Lesh, who's the bass player, yeah. Who's off on an errand or something, somewhere.
And, well, off on an errand is kind, yeah. But the Grateful Dead, playing almost every weekend somewhere or other around San Francisco. Things have been going pretty good for you, right?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
Real good.
Remarkably good.
I've had a chance to catch you a couple, three times at the Fillmore. A lot of good blues. And one thing I know about the Dead, it seems like the instruments, everything is always right together. There's never any sloppiness. Bing, bang, you know. The guitars are always, everybody hits at the right time. Is that what it is?
It's pure luck.
Coincidence.
Yeah, all of us have a sense of time that's funny at best. But somehow, after being together for a year, we've learned to keep it the same kind of funny.
Together. Okay, where did the name Grateful Dead come from, and how did the group get organized?
Run it down to him.
Okay, we were trying to think of a name for the band. Our name was originally the Warlocks, not originally the Warlocks, just the Warlocks, but first it was. Anyway, the Warlocks was our name. We discovered that there was a band back east or something like that recording under that name. We decided, oh no, we can't have that. We can't be confused with somebody else. So we were trying to think up names, and for about 2 or 3 weeks we went on the usual thing of like coming up with thousands and thousands of very funny names, but none of which you could use, like Vitamin E and the Vivisectionists.
Yeah, you know, reality sandwich.
That's a wild thing, the names of groups. But somebody just came up with the Grateful Dead and it sounded right.
Well, no, we didn't come up with it. Well, here's what happened. We were standing around in utter desperation at Phil's house in Palo Alto. And there was a huge Webster's New World Dictionary, I believe. Big monolithic thing. And I just opened it up. And there in huge black letters was the Grateful Dead. And it was just so... You know,
prophesized just out of the book,
canceled my mind out kind of, and I thought, well, you know, so we decided to have it, but it was funny because like we didn't really like it too much at first, and we thought it kind of made us shudder, and you know, we were worried that nobody's going to go for it, it's too weird and whatever, but finally enough people called us that, and we call ourselves that enough times that that's who we are by now.
About a year you've been together then?
A year and a half. It's about a year and a half.
Bill, how'd the group get together? What were all of you doing?
We were working separately at other jobs, musicians, other bands.
And Jeremy and Pig were in a jug band.
Right.
Mother McCree's Uptown Jug Champions.
We had a different bass player at one time who brought us all together, knew all of us. We didn't really know each other necessarily. And put us all together.
And then he canceled the scene. Huh?
Yeah, he couldn't play six nights a week at the clubs and things. Yeah. So he found another bass player.
How often do you have to rehearse? Or do you rehearse?
We try to rehearse every day. And we put in about 6 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's because it's the only thing that we do, really.
Yeah.
We try and do it as good as we can. And put as much time as we can in on it. But because we're all human beings and we're all friends, we can't make it work. You know, I mean, we can't say, okay, this is punch in and let's play and then punch out. Mm-hmm. It's like we get together and sometimes we might not play at all. We might just sit around talking for an hour or so and telling jokes or something and then play a little and get some ideas, and it kind of works like that.
Pigpen, you play sitting down all the time or many times?
Not anymore.
Let me bury this stool.
I canceled out my question. I was going to... All right, why did you?
It was easier to play that way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just a straight guitar, though. I mean, just you like sitting down and doing it?
Not anymore.
I thought maybe you were an Arthur Lyman reject or something with the old Hawaiian guitar.
Well, he plays the organ and harmonica. He's not one of the guitar players. He.
Thanks for straightening it out.
Okay. Don't mention it any time. And the thing about the organ is that
you're
have a foot pedal, you know, and it's more comfortable for Pigpen to sit down and work the foot pedal. But after a few sessions of
long sticks,
we finally convinced him.
Then they threw my seat away.
Yeah, I hear there's something called the Pigpen T-shirt.
Yeah.
Does that mean you've arrived? You're a star now? Or
well,
something?
It's their fault over there sitting down.
There's the fan club sitting down in the other part of the room.
Yeah.
I'll have to get a hold of one of them. Are they in production right now? Or?
The Pigpen
T-shirt. Oh, you did. They're brought one
for you.
Is that for me?
That's for you.
It's for us.
Oh, is that lovely? Yes, it is you. I remember the picture now on one of the posters that I think Family Dog did. Didn't he use the same picture? Or somebody?
Who knows?
I don't know. There's so many posters. Lovely things, too. I'm doing a wall in them right now. Hey, thank you. I'll wear that to, I'll figure out somewhere to wear that.
Wear it anyway.
And I'll reciprocate and give you some of our sweatshirts here at the station. That's kind of a trade out. We could start a whole thing with trading shirts.
Right. The barter system.
Yeah. Okay, the Grateful Dead got together, and you all decide you kind of like to play the same music, or did you decide this music would be advantageous to play for popularity or commercial success, or how did that work?
Just play like what we want to play, what we like personally. There's five different musicians, they have five different tastes. And we try to encompass each taste as best we can. My Pigpen is predominantly blues, and my background's been a little jazz drumming. And they just blend fairly well.
Our background is really varied musician to musician in terms of what our musical experience has been. And because of that, well, you know, like we get along pretty good, and somehow we can make the stuff work, you know. So we have material that comes from all different kinds of areas, and our ideas about like writing songs are not really affected by rock and roll particularly, because none of us were really playing that much rock and roll before we got together as a band. And really we've learned how to play our music by being together for a year. And wasn't really too much of a guitar player when I started with the band. What I play now on the guitar really is Grateful Dead guitar, because it's grown up with the band.
So
really,
five individual tastes form a whole new sixth thing when they get together.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's easy. Sometimes it works out.
Are you sticking with more traditional blues things? Are you trying more experimental music now?
We're going in as many directions as we can go.
Whatever we like.
Yeah, whatever we like and think we can do pretty well. We do a lot of blues, but we also do a lot of like traditional jug band music and early blues, which is not the same as more recent blues, Chicago blues and stuff like that. We don't try and make it stylistically the way it originally was. Stylistically is what we do, actually. What we do is attach our style to a particular song, and the style varies from song to song depending on the song.
So is the Grateful Dead kind of a profitable thing? I said, you say this is what you guys all do now. Are you becoming rich people or something?
We're having fun and existing pretty well. It just keeps looking better and better. Like from the very beginning, it kept looking better and better because like from the very beginning, we were working somewhere and we went through some pretty hungry months. But we also played a lot, you know, and it really helped out. That's really the best way to get a band going is to just play continuously.
Yeah. We're going to pause for 7 minutes here at KFRC News and be back with the Grateful Dead in a matter of 7 minutes. And me, Steve O'Shea, on KFRC Perspective. Hey. On KFRC Perspective with 4 of 5 members of the Grateful Dead. And anybody who frequents some of the underground places or some of the dance places in San Francisco is quite familiar with the Grateful Dead and some of the good, hard, strong music they put out. Why so loud? Is that equipment, or do you guys play loud, or were my ears on those occasions?
We're all deaf.
Is that what it is?
Slowly come deaf.
We're all going deaf.
Yeah, we're not the loudest going either.
No, we aren't really that loud. We're not as loud as we used to be, for example. Our whole scene, in fact, originally was to be the loudest thing on earth, but we've sort of sacrificed loudness for
quality.
Quality. Maybe, sometimes, it depends. Some of us still have an attack of volumitis, you know. You turn up to 10 and it's just...
Every time the band gets together, not in a rehearsal situation, but actually in a performance at a dance or a concert, and you begin to play a set, is each set different? Is each song different?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
We try to never repeat a song twice in the same night.
We never do.
We never haven't done that.
In fact, that's been our policy all along, and we decided to not take any jobs until we could do a full night anywhere, 5 sets, 10 sets, however many sets we had to do, and not repeat anything. So we've got a lot of material. Sometimes it goes through these changes where we do one song more than we do others because we start to get into it, and then we'll maybe put it aside for a while and work on some other ones. But like when we get on stage, we usually don't make up sets beforehand. We usually just have our list of songs, our book of material, you know. And on stage, we decide what to do because something might seem appropriate at the moment. And we'd rather work off the top of our heads than off a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And so sometimes there are long, embarrassing pauses in our sets where we stand around and argue and occasionally come to blows.
I have some conversation occasionally, and this happens with people out of Los Angeles more than anything else. Maybe it's because those are the contacts of music I fall into. But they seem to say that when they get to San Francisco to watch the groups, they are agitated when they see a song finish, when they see a group take 2-3 minutes to tune or retune or whatever it is you do, plan the next song, stand there in a rather inanimate fashion, and come out with another song. Traditionally, as you know, out of old rock and roll and out of many things that are still going on all out the go-go places at the coffee houses, a group not only has to play, they have to do a little bit of dance, a little choreography, look sharp, all the same uniforms
shows.
And all of that. Mm-hmm. Now, the Grateful Dead certainly does violate that rule of a show and the footwork and the fancy costumes.
Definitely.
And all of that.
Right. Well, here's what we hope to do, to convey is we hope to make our music our show, and because we are our music, and our music is us, and it's all us essentially. That's our show, and sometimes it's a show. I mean, sometimes it actually comes off like a show because sometimes we're exceptionally turned on, and we feel like talking, you know, to the audience and having some fun. And in that case, it comes out a show in the Las Vegas sense, and that it's entertaining and that it's bright and it goes along from thing to thing. The part that's really the show is in the middle of some song that's been going on for 20 minutes when things are getting very exciting musically. And that's when it's really a show, because that's kind of the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't mean to say that I was personally wanted to take opposition to the way you do a show.
Oh, no, I know.
I possibly care if a group dances or not.
Right, I don't think any... here's the thing, is I don't think that people really care that much about that part of it anymore, you know.
No.
Unless they're going out to a nightclub or something like that, or they're going to be passively amused someplace. But, like, what we play for is dances, and people go to a dance, we assume that they're there to dance as much as anything. And our music is dance music, and that's a kind of entertainment that doesn't really require, you know, too much. It requires a sort of feedback between the musicians and dancers. And
now, let me get back to Bob. You haven't had a chance to yak too much yet. Who writes the material? Where do you come up with some of the stuff you do?
Well, most of us write it, or either that or it's public domain material. In other words, it's been around for a while. Old folk songs and stuff like that, you know.
And you do it your own way? And
yeah. Well, we usually take the changes and maybe change them around and do that.
That's funny that a musician would admit that something is public domain. For those who in the audience might not know, public domain means this song has been around so long that nobody really knows who wrote it.
Jingle
like
bells.
An old folk song or something. And like maybe C.C. Rider, seems like it's been around for 300 years or something.
Right, everybody who makes a recording of it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing I was going to get to. Every time someone puts a record out, they maybe will change one note or one word and they say, hey, I wrote this song, and then I don't know if they do collect the money from it. I suppose for the sales of their record, they do collect some kind of money.
I'm sure that there must be tricks to that, but I remember when I was playing funk music that there was a big thing because funk music is, of course, mostly public domain music. And guys would put together a version of a song and then say traditional adapted and arranged by so and so, and in that way they would be able to claim a certain amount of money for whatever creative development that they made on the music, and still not for the body of music itself. I think that material, like the way we use songs at any rate, is mostly a matter of just taking the words and sort of the feeling of it, and then we sort of take liberties with it because we don't feel like we're surrounded by traditional barriers that we have to follow, you know.
Yeah, I just thought of something. I had a guest last week on the show who was a graduate with highest academic honors from the Yale University School of Music, and her specialty is concert piano. However, she's working right now with an organ company in public relations, demonstrating and that sort of thing. And I just thought, and lovely blonde, and from Yale. And I thought, what a great thing to get her together with Pigpen for a show and talk about what's been happening in organ music. Hey, that's something we'll have to talk about later on. Maybe we can pull that. Bill, let's see, I wanted to get into favorite artists, performers. Things that have influenced you guys and you steal from. So from drums, who would you like in drums, or what instrument, what musicians around or ever around have influenced you?
I used to listen to James Brown's drummer a lot. He did a lot of nice Motown drumming. And I don't listen to any rock and roll at all because it's, personally, it's not very good. I don't like it. Jazz drumming is really what I listen to. Joe Morello. Elvin Jones.
Max Roach. Did Max Roach die? Someone told me that. Or
I don't know.
Play
about
with
that.
Clipper Brown and he.
I don't know.
Yeah. We're getting way back in the old jazz band.
Yeah. He's a fine drummer, though. Very good technician. Mm. And Buddy Rich in that same style.
Sure.
Great drummers.
Yeah. Is there any problem listening to jazz drums at home and then coming to work and playing in a more traditional blues medium?
Well, I try to use what I know about jazz and rock and roll to make it more interesting. Rock and roll really is fairly straight drumming. Mm-hmm. And jazz isn't.
Well, you can't say that anything but a straight drummer.
Yeah, you can't say that there's a straight drumming that's running through this music that we find around the West Coast at all now.
Yeah,
the drum is just as dominant an instrument as anything else, as far as creative.
I think also that people should talk more about drummers. They don't really very much.
Yeah, let's hear more.
That's a bad thing. You sit clear in the back.
Exactly. We should talk more about our Bill.
Well, the lead guitarist is always brought out.
You know, of course.
There he is. Maybe because he stands in front of the stage, but I think I've heard some.
It's because I'm bigger than you are.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Well, but the world picked
See what I mean?
The world picked up Ringo and took Ringo to their hearts, and so maybe there's a chance that something will happen like that. What about the rest of you?
Bill's not quite as lovable as Ringo.
Bob, what about some of the people that you might be influenced by, other musicians?
Oh, I like just about anybody who's good. I like good blues, good country western, good jug band music, good you know, I like good eastern music. And listen to it all and try to absorb as much as I can from any particular, you know, any particular kind of music.
You mentioned you were in a jug band previous to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Tell me something about a jug band. I don't think we've really ever talked about jug bands and what that kind of music means on the show.
Oh, well, yeah. Dada.
Our jug band was pure anarchy. It was complete and total anarchy.
Yeah, watch it.
We had lots and lots of people in it, and Pigman and Bob and I were more or less the ringleaders of it, and we'd work out various kinds of funny material. It was, it was musically funny, and it was like a musical vacation to just get on stage and have a good time.
Doesn't this music really stem from southeastern United States, though?
Sure. It's essentially country music.
Yeah.
In that it's rural, and its development was rural, and it mostly was the result of musicians not having enough to buy fancy instruments, so they bought kazoos and whatever was around.
A comb with maybe a piece of tissue.
Right.
That's as far as I ever got in music. Pigpen, who would influence you?
Oog. Mostly blues people. Wynton Hopkins, John Lee Hooker, and then in the more modern bags like Bobby Bland and Little Junior Parker and Little Walter and those kind of people.
It's funny, when I ask groups these questions, the same people come up time after time.
Sure.
What about Al Cooper? Have you had a chance to hear him with the Blues Project?
No.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be back in December and make an effort just to hear what he's up to. It's kind of some fun stuff.
Tremendous studio organist.
Yeah, he all of a sudden in a harder, even harder than you guys, blues number, here will come something that's just way out of the classics on the organ, just flying around up above a blues song. Kind of a wild effect.
He's really tasty.
Jerry, who influences you?
Everybody. Anybody. It doesn't matter. My first guitar influence, when I first started playing guitar, I guess 9 years ago, I wanted, the first guitar I got, and the first guitar I wanted to get was an electric guitar, and I wanted to play like Chuck Berry more than anything else in the world at that time. I got the guitar and learned some of the songs that were going around then, but I had no idea how to play, really. Later on, I got interested in folk music, fingerstyle guitar playing. And then five-string banjo, and I played five-string banjo, devoted all my energy to it for about 3 years, and then came back to the guitar when we formed the band. Every kind of music that I've heard turns me on, and I just play what I can hear, and what I can remember, and what I can learn from records, and I'm really shameless about it, you know, steal from anybody.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Absorb as much as you can, and then create on top of that yourself, and you come up with a new thing, which is, again, what we talked about with the band. The Grateful Dead, seems like things are going pretty well for you. Anything that we should plug ahead, the week or two ahead, anything you want to mention?
Gosh. Fillmore? When?
Weekend after this?
Weekend after this.
Well, sure.
Cotton.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Cotton.
Great
blues man.
The big Sunday benefit, is it not?
Yeah,
mention that, too. Starts at 3 in the afternoon on Sunday next and goes until when? Who knows?
And everybody who's interested in blues must see Jimmy Cotton.
Yeah, he used to play harmonica
his
with Muddy Waters.
Right. Mm-hmm. And his drummer is Sam Lay, who used to be Paul Butterfield's drummer. And they're I understand, just a beautiful group.
Okay. Good successes to you. When the record comes around, let me know, and we'll see what it sounds like and that sort of thing.
Good enough.
Thank you for coming by. The Grateful Dead, there they are.
Thank you.
And Steve O'Shea on KFRC Perspective.
Big hit. Now.